with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink, and now the only original Marvel character not yet in a movie. It's Mark Searby.
How is that possible? What's wrong with people?
I mean, it's not like it's a pecking order, but I'm not sure you're at the top, mate.
Yeah, I can't.
Movie man. Is he a thing?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Do you know why I don't have one?
Why?
Because it wouldn't look good in spandex.
Oh, shit.
It's
is that what it is?
It might be a little bit too tight. There might be a few too many lumps and bumps as well. It's not a good look.
And the Hulk's in there. He just takes the spandex off. He's like, whatever.
Yeah, but it's slightly different. You know, I look more like Fat Thor than anything else.
I loved Fat Thor. I thought he was cool.
Listen, we all did. Like, but at the same time, yeah. We were like, yes, he's great for half an hour, but we want to see Chris Hemsworth back to, you know, his brawny.
It was a bit scary.
Yeah, back to his brawny best with his top off. Nobody was going, I wish Fat Thor would take his top off. I can't wait. So I think that might be the answer. I've got to be honest. You know,
if they ever need a stunt double for Fat Thor, I think we could both probably
do that.
We could do it.
We could do it quite easily. Yes, yes.
The multiverse of Thorness.
multiverse of Thorness. Thor. Thor times three. What is it? Thor squared.
Thor Ford. Yeah, Thor squared.
Thor squared. That's what it could be. Anyway, listen, we're getting ahead of ourselves here because we're not reviewing Thor, Love and Thunder until next week, basically.
I had no idea. I'm excited now.
There you go. So you're even more excited.
Marvelous.
Yeah, it's a marvelous. Yes. Obviously, we've got a Marvel film to review in a moment, but we should talk about a franchise that is arguably as big as, if not bigger, than the MCU. Let's be honest here.
I mean, really, they've been around for a very long time and they've caused a lot of trouble.
They have, absolutely. And far be it from me to suggest that there are people out there that actually do not like the Minions, but if there are, what's wrong with you? I mean,
Bello. What? Could possibly be not to love about the Minions.
Exactly. So, obviously, you know, Minions everywhere. I mean, we've got the movies. I think there's a TV show, isn't there? You can buy the mugs, you can buy the clothes.
My dad's got every kind of thing.
Has he?
Available. There's a mug, there's a pen, there's a ruler, there's like a rubber. Good God, I can't even remember what we've got. Every birthday, something Minions related.
So he loves Minions then?
Well, I think, I'm not sure if he so much loves it or whether me and my sister just find it hilarious that we keep buying
the Minion stuff.
Minions things to take to work. Yeah. He's the boss. So it's like, well, you're probably the evil master.
He's possibly Gru then.
In a weird kind of world. Yeah.
Right. So. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that ties in because now we have a new Minions movie. It is Minions, The Rise of Gru.
This is basically the untold story of Gru and his dream to become the world's greatest supervillain. I mean, let's be honest here, Stuart. You know, Minions really do rule the world. I mean, they're literally everywhere. And, you know, I'm sure everybody listening has got something that's got Minions on it, you know, whether it's a T-shirt or a pencil case or socks or something. You just can't escape them. That's the thing. But where did they come from? And that's the question that is answered in The Rise of Gru. And look, I know we don't do spoilers here so much, but I'm going to give a little spoiler. It doesn't particularly matter because when you see the scene in the movie, you'll still laugh at it anyway. But so here's a little spoiler. So when Gru takes in the Minions as his henchmen, you want to know how he's done it. Basically, what happens is they just turn up at his house. He's posted a little ad saying help wanted. He just wants one person. And yet all the Minions have turned up and he just lets them in. And that's it. That's the simple joke. I mean, I howled with laughter when that happened. But then to be fair, I howled consistently all the way through this anyway. It's a really funny comedy that makes every joke count. And when you laugh at that joke,
then there is enough time spaced in between for you to stop laughing before you have to take in the next joke as well. So basically, you're not missing any joke anywhere along the way. You know, that's clever writing to keep the jokes so spaced apart without letting the energy drop. And they're not that spaced apart either. I've got to say that. They are, you know, very quickly done, but it gives you enough time to stop the guffawing, to stop the hilarity, and just take in the next joke. So I was looking up this on IMDb, and it turns out that this film is a sequel to a prequel and a spin-off. Now, I'll say that again. So it's a sequel to a prequel and a spin-off. Yeah, I mean, you know, get your head around that one, I guess. The easy way to say it is it's an origin story. So we meet Gru, who is 11 and three quarters. He dreams of nothing but being the best supervillain. He worships the ground that the Vicious Six, who are a group of supervillains, walk on. He wants to be their leader when their leader is ousted in a coup, but he doesn't make the cut. So he decides to form his own alliance with the leader of the Vicious Six, who's been ousted. I mean, if you thought this was just a standard comedy, you'd be wrong, because it's kind of James Bond-y. There's a lot of James Bond stuff going on in here, actually. There is a secondary story about Stuart, Kevin and Bob, the minions, who separate from Gru on a road trip, and they learn Kung Fu in order to help their mini-boss. That's what they call Gru, which he absolutely hates, but they continue to call him mini-boss, which, once again, hilarious. So they learn Kung Fu in order to help Gru fight against the Vicious Six. I mean, there's so much stuff going on with other minions, and then you kind of forget about Gru. And then you go, oh, there's the Gru stuff, which is really good as well. So basically, the film is a non-stop entertainment ride that will have you laughing constantly. It's incredibly colourful. The soundtrack is fantastic. The film is actually set in the 70s, so I should say that. So the soundtrack is all funk and soul, and it's all really good stuff. I really like it. There's some disco in there as well. I think, you know, this film has the minions doing their thing. It's also got Gru doing his thing, so we understand where Gru's come from. You know, as I said, he's 11 and three quarters. So you have this really good Gru story at the center of it as well, that's just overflowing with hilarity, and the minions doing their thing. You know, I mean, for my money, this is the best film in the franchise, and it's just gonna continue to send the minions absolutely stratospherical, and everybody is going to have more minions stuff than we can ever count for.
So I guess then,
again,
you know, your dad's still going to be obsessed with minions, because we've got this new film now, and it's never going to stop, is it?
Never. No. I feel like there's probably even more franchise to come from it now. I mean, it's got to be some things they haven't made that are Minions branded.
It's coming, isn't it? There's going to be something. But, I mean, do you like Minions? Joking aside, you know, you and your sister buying your dad Minions and stuff like that. Do you like the films? Because I'm sort of up and down with them a little bit. I like Minions, but
I like the fact that they've put so much thought into them. Mm. Like, that you listen to them talk. There's genuinely a language.
Yes, a little bit
of European in there. Like, you think this actually sort of makes weird sense.
It's like what's his name from South Park? Kenny. You can sort yes. of understand what he's saying, but at the same time, it's funny because you can't. So I think that's the Minion syndrome, isn't it? Is, as you said, they've got their own language, but you sort of understand the language. And obviously, everybody understands when they say bottom as well, which is never not going to be funny either.
I genuinely think if they did exist, I would definitely employ them, because they seem like the best lads to have around, don't they? Make anything more fun. It'd all go horribly wrong.
It is quite true. It would all go horribly wrong, but it would be fun in the process, wouldn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, if I ever need a producer, it's going to be a Minion.
It's going to be one of those. Right. Okay. But I mean, look, let's face it, you know, there's clearly going to be so much more to come from Minions. So I guess it's just wait and see what's going to happen now.
Where it goes. Minions, more films.
To be fair, actually, that's pretty good, actually, for you. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It wasn't bottom. Sorry.
Look, here's the thing. We said we wouldn't do a lot of it on air. So when we've finished and when you're playing a record, we'll do the Minions jokes afterwards.
We'll carry on.
Yeah, we'll carry on just off air because it won't be anywhere good. So there we go. So, you know, Minions Rise of Gru, it's in cinemas as to be expected. You know, I mean, where else is it going to be? That's the thing.
Obviously.
Yes.
Best enjoyed on the bigger screen. The Minions are almost life-sized in.
That's true, actually. That's a good point. They are. Yeah, that's a really good point. Yes. Didn't think of that.
Huh. Awesome.
Yes.
What else you got for us?
So, DVD and Blu-ray, we should talk about. We were just talking about Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well, we've got a movie from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Sort of.
Oh, just sort of.
Sort of. Yes. So, now on DVD and Blu-ray, Morbius. It is about the biochemist Michael Morbius, who tries to cure himself of a rare blood disorder, but he inadvertently infects himself with a form of vampirism instead.
Oh, blimey. Oh, that's not gone well. That's a bad day in the office.
So, I say it's sort of part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because it kind of is, only this time Morbius is done via Sony Pictures, who own the rights to like a handful of Marvel properties, including Spider-Man, obviously. So,
yes.
So this one has a slightly different look and feel about it than the usual Marvel fare. The problem is that the look and feel is utterly dreadful.
Oh.
Utterly dreadful.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, the film is desperately trying to aim at an older market than the usual Marvel stuff. It's trying to be darker and grittier. I mean, it's certainly darker because I could hardly see anything half the time. I really couldn't.
I hate films like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the film is just bathed in dark light and you just can't see anything. But, you know, joking aside with the lighting, I think the main problem with the film is that it just lacks any killer punch whatsoever. Michael Morbius isn't an interesting character here. He sort of comes across, well, he doesn't sort of, he comes across as really self-absorbed and unengaging. And that affects the entire film because you don't really want to root for the guy because he's so uninteresting. I mean, obviously, also, you don't want to root for him because when he turns into Morbius, he ultimately becomes Morbius the bad guy. You know, he's the villain of the Marvel Universe. Well, one of the villains of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But the film tries to play him off as a good guy of sorts. And it's kind of weird because they try to play him off as a bad guy, but just not as bad as his arch rival and longtime friend Milo. So the film has two bad guys going at each other, and you're meant to be on Morbius's side more than the other one. I mean, to be honest with you, I literally didn't care about either of them. They're both secondary characters. They're secondary characters in their own movie. Mm. This is the issue.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, this is part of the problem. I think also another issue with the film is that it runs for 104 minutes. And in that time, it's trying to do so many things in terms of setting out who Morbius is, where he fits into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what he's likely to do in the future about, you know, other storylines and whatever else. So the film is way too rushed. So it's like watching the film on fast forward because they go, right, he's doing this and then he's doing that and then he's doing this and then he's over there and he's doing this. And you go, hang on, what's going on? Where's he going? What's happening? So it's...
Yeah, short time for a standard issue blockbuster.
Well, kind
Marvel
of.
Film.
Kind of, yeah. Especially when you've got an origin movie, which is what this is. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's an origin movie that solely exists so they can shoehorn Morbius into a big MCU multi-character film in the future. It is not its own movie. It is desperately... It's a movie that is desperately, desperately trying to find the characters and put them in the wider Marvel Cinematic Universe landscape, completely forgetting that actually we need to know about the character first before you put them in the other films so we understand them a bit better.
Yeah,
this is the issue, really.
Chucked him in there.
Yeah, so I get the point of why making the film, but you don't make the film on fast forward. So all in all, this film is pretty pointless. If you want, you know, it's just too quick. The characters are not interesting. You know, look, here's the answer, okay? If you want to watch a proper comic book vampire movie, then just rewatch Blade.
because Blade
yes.
is the high watermark, not just for comic book vampire movies, but also within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. For me, that is always going to be top three, Blade, without a doubt. And also, just to mention, Blade kicked off the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It wasn't Iron Man, it was Blade. And anybody who tells me otherwise, you're wrong.
Stay quiet.
Yeah. So,
because you're in the zone.
I am. So look, Blade is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Watch Blade. Don't watch Morbius because it's pointless.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, but it just is.
I mean, it does. I don't like the dark films when they go. Is it one of those again where you feel like, I think Marvel were doing this a lot. They're just chucking out so much stuff and trying to create so many new characters now. You'd be better off to do a series. So you've got the time to develop a character rather than do a film.
I would rather have seen... Actually, do you know what? No, I wouldn't. I was going to say I would rather have seen a movie about Moon Knight because I loved Moon Knight, the miniseries.
Oh, yeah, I'm halfway through.
I thought it was brilliant.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good. But then it wouldn't have given you as much time with the characters, whereas Morbius doesn't give us enough time with the characters either because it's all rushed. Would it have worked as a TV series? It's difficult to know, to be honest with you. You certainly needed more origin and more time to develop the origin rather than it all being on fast forward and then the bad guy fights the bad guy. So is the bad guy really the bad guy? Is he actually a good guy type thing? You're like,
technically.
Yeah, what is going on here? So I don't know. I don't know. It's just not a very good movie.
Oh, yeah. Could it be Sabotage? Because Jared Leto... obviously stars as Morbius in this. He also stars as the Joker in Zack Snyder's Justice League. Mm-hmm. Was he sent by DC to destroy Marvel?
Oh dear, I'm not answering that. You're going to get me in a world of trouble if I answer that. So I am not touching that. No way. No, absolutely not. No, we all know the hatred between DC and Marvel fans and Marvel fans and DC and whatever else. My answer to this thing is just be thankful we've got these movies.
Your inner child reading those comic books is still over the moon.
Exactly. You're still waiting for the movies to come about and all of a sudden we're inundated with them all. I mean, granted, some of them are rubbish. We just reviewed a rubbish one. But to go, DC's better than Marvel, just be thankful that they are now the big, huge blockbusters rather than, I mean, I think back to the 80s. I think back to I think it was 1989 or maybe 1990, Captain America film. I mean, that's the only thing I ever saw in terms of superhero movies at that time, really. I mean, Batman, not a superhero movie anyway. But yeah, you know, that was about the only thing. So it's a whole new ball game now, isn't it, with superhero movies?
Universe is big. There's a lot of bad guys. Need a lot of good guys to fight them. So it's all right.
Yeah, true. But we don't need bad guys fighting bad guys. That's pointless.
Yeah. Come on. Leave a job for the good guys.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Come on. You're going to put them on the unemployment line here.
I could just imagine all these capes ending up in the charity shops and stuff. Don't need that anymore. So Morbius, is it in cinemas?
It's
or
DVD
streaming?
And Blu-ray, and so DVD, Blu-ray, and I'm sure it's available on digital platforms as well. So you know, all your usual home entertainment needs,
all the usual places.
Yes.
And what else you got for us?
So we've got an anime movie out of Japan called Pompo the Cinephile.
Okay.
Which is a great title. I mean,
Pompo the Cinephile.
Yeah, so it's a story of a famous movie producer who gives her young production assistant a chance to direct his first ever film.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of was sent the PR for this, and I was like, this is very much an interesting movie. You know, this is very much in our wheelhouse when we're reviewing films. A film about making a film. I'm like, well, what's not to love about that?
It's like Inception.
Kind of, yes. But then add into the fact that this is an anime movie, so it's animated, and I'm kind of like, well, that ticks an extra box for me because I love a bit of anime. I mean, me and you have reviewed quite a few anime movies over the past few years. So this film is a rather nerdy, geeky film about films. It's very eye-catching. I will say that. The colours in the film, very vivid, very bright. I mean, there's some scenes in the boardroom or in the editing suite that's still really colourful. So the movie is very happy and very bright and very bold. And I really like that about it.
Much brighter than Morbius.
Yeah, a lot brighter than Morbius. Yes, absolutely.
Test your TV out.
Yes, yes. You just need to turn it back to normal, basically. The storytelling I thought was really entertaining. The movie producer slash director, because she does direct films as well, I've got to say that, is a real live wire. Cool. She's constantly on the move, making all sorts of films. She never sits still. Once one movie is released, she's on to the next project. And I really enjoyed watching her sort of buzz about the place, you know, getting ready to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, which I really enjoyed because it's the complete opposite to her young production assistant, who is very quiet and unassuming and works at a bit of a slow pace as well. And he's not really sure about himself either. So when he's offered the directing job, it brings with it the highs of being asked. I can't believe I'm going to be asked to direct a film. I'm really looking forward to this. But also the very, very lows of, can he actually do it? Or is he, you know, dealing with imposter syndrome? So
yeah.
I thought that was a rather interesting thing to include, because the film, while the focus is about the film, it's also about being the best you can be and taking the chances, because you never know if you'll succeed or not. So, you know, it's kind of a story about rising to the top as well as that. So regardless of self-doubt, hey, put your mind to it. And if you believe, then you might be able to achieve it. It's a really positive message. Really positive message. Like that about it.
Excellent.
And also, actually, you know, just going back to obviously what is the main idea, which is a big producer giving a young assistant a shot at producing. Well, as to be expected, it's lifted directly from real life, because through the decades, centuries as well now, actually, of filmmaking, this has been going on. You know, producers, directors have given those who have worked for them a shot at directing a movie. I mean, off the top of my head, I think about like Roger Corman, you know, the king of the B movies. He gave first movies to people like Francis Ford Coppola, Martin Scorsese. Who else did he do as well? Ron Howard as well. So you see,
it's big names.
Big names all given their first shot. So it's really actually playing on things that actually happened. That's the great thing about it. That's what I like, where it's going, okay, yes, it's fun, yes, it's anime and whatever else, but actually it's taken all of these leads from real life as well. So, you know,
yeah,
as anime goes, as an anime movie goes, it isn't the most standout of them. You know, you and I earlier this year reviewed Belle, and I said to you, incredible color, amazing soundtracks, amazing, yes, stories, amazing, etc. One of the best animes I've seen over the past few years.
Sorry, an amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't live up to that, but this is not that, you know, this film is not trying to live up to that. That's the thing. It's telling its own story. However, as a film for film lovers, or maybe that should be cinephiles, I guess, you know.
Oh,
yes. Yes, yes.
Hey,
yes.
See what you've done there.
Thank you. As a film for cinephiles, this is a lovely piece of work. Really lovely piece of work. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Yeah. It's just, as I said, I just came away feeling upbeat and a bit joyous. And that's kind of what you want most of the time.
Happy about the film industry.
Yes.
And what's to come.
Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, there are people out there who will take their chance and will make interesting movies. And we will talk about them because they are interesting movies. And whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter. But because it's interesting, we'll talk about it. So Pompo the Cinephile, as I said, doesn't look amazing, but the story actually is rather interesting and rather entertaining.
Lovely. Where is this available?
So this is in cinemas, as to be expected. Right. Of course it is.
Oh, of
where
course.
Would you see a movie about films, about making films for the cinema? You would see it in the cinema. So it's in cinemas now.
In all places where cinephiles hang out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, you've got it right there.
Brilliant. What you got for us next week, Mark?
So next week, as we said right at the start, we're going to talk about a new Marvel movie, Thor, Love and Thunder.
I mean, sounds more like an AC/DC
it
album.
It really does, doesn't it? And I think that's what they're going for, to be honest with you. So,
okay.
So next week, you might have to get your AC/DC greatest hits out when we review Thor, Love
it's
and Thunder.
Always out.
It's right. Okay. It's, yeah. So we'll do that. And then on DVD and Blu-ray, we'll talk about a British movie called Operation Mincemeat, which is a true story from World War II. And looks then
good. Yeah, cool.
On the podcast, we will also talk about another British movie, actually called, it's called True Things, and it stars Ruth Wilson, who people might remember from The Affair, the American TV show, or Luther as well. So she's in this. Yes. A lovely, well, I say lovely, it deals with some heavy stuff, but it's a small British movie that did pretty well at the cinema, so now it's on DVD and Blu-ray. So we'll talk about that. So one big, huge American blockbuster, two British movies as well.
Excellent stuff. I look forward to it. And the AC/DC is ready when you are.
Excellent. Excellent. Get ready. Because I think we're going to need it.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.